It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we'll find out why more than 500,000 people are still logging into the online world of Second Life almost 15 years after the virtual game-like service was launched. First, Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced that he will bring two new federal prosecutors to Milwaukee. In a speech yesterday at the federal courthouse in Milwaukee, Sessions talked about high homicide rates and emphasized his message on law and order.
I'm afraid we're seeing we've abandoned some of our successful principles. I think the crime rate is going up, and we need to get serious again about what we can do about it. And the president's order to us was to reduce crime in America, his third order. And I told him Friday, we embrace that challenge.
Michael O'Hara is a professor at Marquette University Law School. He's the author of the forthcoming book, Wisconsin Sentencing in the Tough on Crime Era. He's here to take a closer look at the potential impact of Sessions' decision. Michael, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Very glad to be here.
What's the significance, Michael, of appointing two more federal prosecutors to focus on violent crime in the Milwaukee area?
Well, it's showing that the federal government under President Trump and Attorney General Sessions, the federal government is trying to bring federal resources to bear to help cities deal with rising crime rates. And Milwaukee is one of the cities in the United States that has been experiencing a spike in homicides in recent years. Our story hasn't been quite so prominent as Chicago's, but in some ways is reminiscent of what's been happening in Chicago. And President Trump has earlier indicated that he would like to provide more federal support for fighting homicides in Chicago. And what Attorney General Sessions announced yesterday for Milwaukee seems to be in the same spirit.
What, on a practical level, would two more federal prosecutors do when it comes to law enforcement and prosecution?
Well, I think we have to say right up front that two prosecutors will not make a huge difference. There might be some benefits around the margins, but certainly an addition of just two prosecutors in a city that has dozens of state and federal prosecutors, an addition of two in and of itself is not exactly a game changer, but most likely what I would expect these new prosecutors to do is to go after gun cases, particularly to get some federal prosecutions of people who have been convicted of violent crimes in the past who are found in possession of a firearm. It is, of course, illegal for a felon to possess a firearm, and there are some very stiff penalties available under federal law for felons who are found in possession of a firearm. All of these individuals could be prosecuted in state court, but the idea here is that if they're prosecuted by federal prosecutors in federal court, there will be likely significantly longer sentences imposed.
Is the hope here then that this deters that felon from getting the gun in the first place, or that takes these longer federal sentences take that felon who does have a firearm off the streets for a longer period of time?
Both. That's called deterrence and incapacitation. And the theory here is that you get a double benefit when you use these long federal prison terms for convicted felons who are found in possession of a firearm. You get a dangerous person off the street for a number of years, and you deter potentially dangerous people from acquiring guns in the first place.
Have we seen similar efforts in other cities around the country in recent history, adding more federal prosecutors? What's out there? What's the result been?
Well, what this current initiative reminds me of is some similar initiatives that were undertaken in the 1990s by the Clinton administration. The Clinton Department of Justice was also very interested in bringing federal resources to bear to try to combat violent crime in the nation's cities. And the two most prominent examples in the 90s were in Boston and in Richmond, Virginia. And in both cities, there was a big push to get these federal prosecutions and long federal prison terms for felons found in possession of a firearm. Both the Boston and the Richmond initiatives got a lot of national attention at the time and were generally regarded as successful initiatives. Both cities did experience some significant declines in violent crime while those initiatives were taking place.
Michael O'Hara is with us from the Marquette University Law School, looking at an announcement from Attorney General Jeff Sessions that two new federal prosecutors would be appointed to deal with violent crime in the Milwaukee area. Michael, this is in response, as you mentioned earlier, to rising crime rates, violent crime rates. Can you talk about what's happened to those rates over the last few years?
Yeah, sure. In Milwaukee, there has been a significant spike in violent crime. We've seen the homicide rate basically double since 2008. This is, again, similar to what you see in a number of other cities around the country. Chicago's had a huge spike, St. Louis, Baltimore. It may be similar, or there may be similar kinds of dynamics taking place in Milwaukee. It is interesting, though. I mean, some of the rhetoric we get from politicians suggests that the nation as a whole is engulfed in a massive crime wave, and that's simply not true. National crime rates are relatively low right now compared to where they have been otherwise in recent decades, and some cities like New York City just continue to experience year after year of continued decline in crime. But Milwaukee and a handful of other cities have had some pretty significant spikes in recent years. Milwaukee has developed one of the highest homicide rates in the country, although it's still significantly lower than what we find in the worst homicide cities like St. Louis and Baltimore and Detroit.
Now, there's an ongoing debate over how we handle crime and punishment in the U.S. calls for less focus on prosecution and incarceration, more on community interventions, things that try to prevent violence in the first place. Are those two necessarily at odds?
They don't have to be at odds necessarily, and probably there is some benefit to doing both things in a complementary sort of way. You are absolutely right that nationally, politicians on both sides of the aisles in recent years have been getting more and more interested in finding more cost-effective ways of dealing with crime than just doing arrests and prosecutions and long prison terms. And so there has been a lot of interest in prevention initiatives and rehabilitative programs, and we've been doing more and more of those as a nation. Those kinds of initiatives, again, are not inherently contradictory to a program that seeks to target the most dangerous repeat violent offenders and deter them from getting firearms in the first place, and in the second place, incapacitate them in prison for an extended period of time. These are not incompatible, except to the extent that our criminal justice system only has so many resources. And so at some point, there are concerns that, you know, for instance, if we are paying the amounts of money that we're paying to incarcerate people for long periods of time, we're just not going to have the resources available for instance, rehabilitative programming in the community.
And we'll leave it there, Michael. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Sure, happy to do it.
That's Michael O'Hare from Marquette University Law School. He joined us for a look at Attorney General Jeff Sessions' decision to appoint two new federal prosecutors in Milwaukee. Coming up, we'll visit the virtual realm of Second Life and the people who still call it home. Stay with us here on Central Time.